Just the hand fell.
He's off.
He's off.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here in God's house. Amen. I was glad to be here. Amen. Praise God. He's good, isn't he? We're singing, I love that song. God is so good. He is good. And he's good all the time. Every minute, every hour, he's good. So easy to get distracted, isn't it, with the goodness of God. We need to keep our eyes focused. Focused on the Lord. Not what the media says, not what on the newspaper says, not what on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all that kind of stuff says, but we keep our eyes focused on the Lord. I'm just going to dive in to the book of Joshua. And it's a wonderful book, the book of Joshua. I love the book of Joshua. This is like a book of, it's like a bridge book, where you've got the people of God, they've been stuck in Egypt for 430 years. And then Moses leads them out into the wilderness. And then Joshua leads them in into Canaan, into the promised land. So the people of God, the Israelites, they've been spending time in the wilderness. And you know the stories really well, I'm sure. They've been mourning and grumbling and complaining, really. Complaining all the time. But God sends a leader. God sends a new leader, Joshua, into this tribe to lead them into the things of God. Joshua was born in Egypt during that time where the Israelites were held captive. He was born in Egypt. So he was born into a time where he knew what opposition looked like and what hard times looked like. Now, Joshua's grandfather, his name was Elishaham. That's a mouthful in itself, isn't it? Elishaham. Now, he was the head of the tribe of Ephraim. And Elisha Haman, he would have marched at the front of his tribe when the Israelites came out of Egypt. Joshua's father, he was called Nin. So he had his grandfather, Elisha Haman, his father, Nin, and of course, Joshua himself. And his grandfather was at the head of his tribe, leading them out of captivity. So at a very, very young age, Joshua would have seen great role models around him. His father, his grandfather leading this tribe with his grandson by his side. You can imagine Joshua being at the side of his grandfather. I'm sure looking at his grandfather and his father, I'm sure this experience shaped Joshua's thinking and perspective. And I would believe most definitely formed his faith into what later it became. How many of us know that kids watch what we do as parents? Amen?
Yeah.
It's not the words that come out of our mouths. No. It's our actions, isn't it? And Joshua, as a little boy, he would have seen his grandfather leading this tribe out of captivity. He would have seen his dad by his side. Good faith would have been modelled to him at that very, very young age. He knew and he had seen hardship. And he was in the wilderness as well with them also. So I just want to encourage you today, mums, dads, grandfathers, grandparents, adopted parents, and all the rest of it, just to keep modelling good parenting in Christ to your children. Because as you sow into your kids' life, You're not sowing in vain. Sometimes you feel you're sowing in vain, but you're not. You're not sowing in vain. And throughout the whole Bible, you can see the way when parents sow effectively, you need to trust that that seed that has been sown in your child's life, in your grandchild's life, it will reap a harvest one day for the glory of God. I think that's why kids ministry, youth ministry is such an important part of the church work. Reaching the kids out there who have no hope, who haven't got mums and dads and parents who love the Lord. And that's why this afternoon we are going to go out and we're going to evangelise. We're going to evangelise. We're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what makes the difference, is sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people, giving them hope, giving them purpose. Because as we know, there is no hope out there at the moment. Everyone's lost. Everyone's running around. No hope, no direction. And actually, there's confusion. There's a spirit of confusion that has come in this time when this hour to confuse people, to confuse kids, to confuse the younger generation. And you can see it so evidently. Confuse them of their identity. If you were a boy, or a girl, or X, or EZ. Confusion. But we this afternoon, we have a hope. We have that good news to share with people. The hope of glory, which is Jesus Christ, that brings you peace, that breaks chains, that breaks bondages, and sets you free, brings you happiness, brings you fulfillment, brings you contentment, and all the rest of it. God is such a generational God. He loves the generations. The grandfather, the father, the son. Elishaham, Nin, and Joshua. He's a generational God. In Psalms 145, verse 4, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 145, verse 4. King David here writes, one generation commends your work to another. Okay? They tell of your mighty acts. They tell of your power, of your awesome works. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. I absolutely love that song. Mm-hmm. One generation commends your work to another. I've got a 9-year-old daughter, her name's Hannah. And when she was little, she asked me the question, Mummy, when did you give your life to Jesus? When? She wanted to know the details. And I have a testimony. I can share that with Hannah. And thank God Hannah has given her heart to the Lord. Hannah one day will share her testimony with her grandchildren. Her grandchildren to their children and their children to their grandchildren. You see, it's the goodness of God. I've been so blessed to be raised in a family where my great-grandmother, she knew Jesus. My grandmother knew the Lord, my mother knew the Lord, Anne knew the Lord, Hannah knows the Lord. I pray that that legacy in my family will remain, will continue, till Jesus comes.
Yes.
Amen. And I want that to be truth for you guys in your family as well. Your legacy might not have been a great one. But you know what? God has handpicked you to break bad legacy off of your life and to start a clean sheet. Amen? So your kids and your grandkids, Esther and Sam, tell of your mighty works. Tell of your power and your awesome works. I'm sure we could all be here this morning, and we could be our sharing of the goodness of God. How he's brought us through to really difficult times, really dark seasons. And God is a God that brings you from the absolute gutter. When you put your trust in him, he raises you up bit by bit, step by step. I'm sure we could share of the healings we've encountered in our lives through the hand of God. The way that God has broken addictions maybe off our lives. And for some of us here, maybe God is still at work through the difficult times. When you give your heart to Jesus, it doesn't mean you have a fluffy, pink, wonderful, glorious life, does it? By all means, no. But he's there with you, day in, day out, encouraging you. He's your best cheerleader. Go on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Davey. Come on. Come on, Chris. Come on. He's your biggest cheerleader.
Yes.
Through the dark days and the good days. So this was Joshua's family background. This was the legacy that Joshua walked in. Guess what? When Joshua was appointed leader, guess how old he was? He was actually 80 years old. 80 years old. When God appointed Joshua to a position of leadership and responsibility, he was 80 years old. But really, looking back at his life, you can see the hand of God on his life. You can see how his character had to be chipped away through all those years. And how he was under the leadership of Moses. I can imagine just that, all the stuff he must have learned and observed while watching Moses lead the people. The good bits and the bad bits. He was second fiddle to Moses for years and years and years. My question to us today is, are we sometimes impatient with God with regards to the call of God on our life? Maybe a bit frustrated with God's timing in your life regarding certain events that you think should have happened right now? Are you maybe disappointed when a prophetic word comes, was been given to you? You're still waiting. You're still waiting and waiting for the fulfillment of it. Well, God, you said this to me 10 years ago. You said I would be doing this, A, B, and C. But I'm still here. I'm still waiting. But I just want to encourage you today, if you're in that position, I just want to encourage you. God is doing a great work. A great work in your life. While you're in that season of transition, while you're in that season of waiting, he doesn't put the pause button on your life and forgets about you. No, no, no. He's continuously at work in your character through different events. So I just want to encourage you today. God has not forgotten what he has spoken over your life. He remembers, of course he remembers. He's the one that spoke it forth in the first place. He remembers. And I think as well, so often I think with prophetic words, when we have them, it's not to be put on the back shelf, is it, to gather dust. It's to be there to grab hold of and to play and sometimes to contend with. Because sometimes it is a battle. Sometimes the devil doesn't want you to fulfill everything God has got for your life. He would rather you go back a few steps, or to the left, or to the right. Sometimes it is a battle, and sometimes it is hard work, and sometimes you have to push through, and sometimes, like Joshua, you have to be second fiddle for a long time, where you have to learn. But at the right time, at the right season, God will appoint you to the very thing that you have been waiting for. So Joshua was 80 years old. And another thing as well, it doesn't matter how old you are. Even if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, there is still things that God wants you to do. It's not an age thing with God at all. It's not an age thing. So if you're maybe a more mature person here today and you think, well, I've reached my 70s, that's me, feet up. I just want to encourage you today. There are still things that God wants you to do. And the best is yet to come. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. So in this chapter, God commands Joshua to conquer Canaan. And this is the command of the Lord to Joshua. Now, by this time, Moses has died. And the leadership has been passed on to Joshua. And in verse 9, this is what it says. Remember that I have commanded you to be determined and courageous and confident. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. I'm sure for Joshua, the task must have felt overwhelming, knowing that the leader he had been under his authority for so many years, he was gone now. And he had this tribe, all these people to lead into the land of Canaan. But time and time, you see through the book of Joshua, God repeats himself. And when God repeats himself, he's trying to draw our attention. He's saying, be confident, don't be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. I think those words are so comforting. They're so comforting. And I feel he's saying this to us as a church, as a body of Christ at the moment as well. Don't be discouraged by what you see. Don't be discouraged by the events in the world. I have told you about these events in the book of Revelation. I've told you about them.
Yeah.
I've told you about them. This is what's going to happen. It's not going to get better. I've told you about them. But he's saying through his words, do not be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I've got this. Trust me. I've got this. Have you read the end book, Revelation? Have you read the end? I've got this. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, people have died. Yes, people have lost their jobs. Yes, we've suffered from mental health, anxiety, depression. But he's saying to us as a church today, don't be discouraged.
No.
Do not be discouraged at all. He's commanding us to be determined and confident. Determination and confidence. Those are the two characteristics we need as Christians in this season. is confidence and determination to keep on pushing through, to keep on walking with God when things are difficult. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the future. And fear has been so prevalent, hasn't it, in the past 18 months. It's been terrible. It really has. And we have gone through such a difficult time. But this is the voice of the Father today saying to us, don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Be confident and be determined. And this is the good news that we can share with people out there today. That's the hope we have. We have this jewel. We have this treasure, this hope that we can share with people. The peace of God. The confidence that we have in our Heavenly Father. It's so good that we have that solid rock to stand, isn't it? Because everywhere else, it is really sinking sand and shaky ground. So the book of Joshua contains 24 chapters and 658 verses. And you can double check that on Google when you go home if you want. 279 of those verses describe the dynamic history of battles and conquests through which Israel took the land of Canaan. The conquest of Canaan, the division of the land east of the Jordan, the land west of the Jordan, the cities of refuge, the cities of Levites, the eastern tribes returned to the territory. And then at the end of the book is Joshua's farewell address where he dies. 279 of those verses describe the marvellous conquests. And the 293 verses are dedicated to list the people and the families and the tribes of Israel and how the land was distributed throughout to each tribe. And the last 86 verses, the farewell of Joshua. Do you know, this book contains such supernatural history of how God intervened in the lives of his people. He is such an intimate God. And how God brought the people of God into their inheritance. Do you know what? When you read this book, and when you go home, I urge you to read this book, you actually see the finger of God in every event that takes place. Every event, every detail, you see the hand of God. And at that time as well, Israel were in a fantastic position. Because as we know, reading your Bible with the history of Israel, they're up and down, aren't they? One minute they're walking with God, the next they're not. But here, at this moment in time, when Joshua led the people of God, they were in a great position. They were in right fellowship with the Lord. When you look back at their time, even when they're in captivity in Egypt, you can see the supernatural events and the hand of God on them. Number one, he had raised Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. After being 430 years in bondage, God sent Moses. God, he has sent 10 plagues in judgment upon Egypt. That's the supernatural hand of God. He had led Israel across the sea on dry land. And he had destroyed the armies of Pharaoh by drowning them in the Red Sea. In the desert, he had provided supernatural food. Do you remember for the Israelites, the manna from heaven? And when Joshua entered the promised land, the supernatural events and the hand of God was continuously on them. The walls of Jericho, do you remember, came tumbling down. And this is the God we serve. He is the God of the supernatural. There was blessing and favour upon Joshua and the Israelites. Do you know the Old Testament stories are examples to us of how good God is? I mean, we teach these stories, don't we, to our children? Stories of the supernatural events. We even read the stories to our kids at bedtime. But there's so much more than just stories, feel good stories. They actually help us and reveal to us who God really is. They reveal to us the character of God. And I feel as we move forward as a church, as the body of Christ, into unprecedented times, we don't know what we're facing, do we? But we feel the pressure of the age. We feel at times fearful and anxious. But know this today, that God's character never changes. And that's why so often we need to be in the Word. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reminded of the faithfulness and the goodness of God in these times. We need to be in worship. We need to be in prayer. We were on Wednesday at our ladies' meeting, we were sharing about prayer and the importance of prayer. And we've started this group up, and it's called Warrior Women. And it's a group where women come together and pray together and do warfare in the spirit. Because we are in a battle. We are contending for souls. And we come together and we come together in one unity and one accord to do warfare in the spirit. For souls, for our families, for our friends. Because at this time in our world, we need to be doing more. We need to be spending time in the Word, reminding ourselves of these wonderful supernatural events, the hand of God in everything. When the Israelites were in Egypt, 430 years in slavery, but yet God provided them with a way out. How encouraging it is for us to hear of these stories. So these stories, these events reveal to us the character of God as a supernatural God, as a protector, as a restorer, as a healer, as a redemptor. This book is a bridge book. It's a bit like the Book of Acts in the New Testament as well. The Book of Acts was a book that documented the story of Jesus on the earth. And he went about healing and raising the dead and sharing the good news, what his heavenly Father was like. And then he departed up to heaven, and then he left his Holy Spirit, and then that's when the early church began. It's a time of transition we're in. And I don't know about you, but for me personally, I think God is calling us to a new level of maturity as believers. Mm-hmm. He really is. He is calling us to a new level of maturity. Mm-hmm. It says in the Bible that he's preparing his bride, which is us, the church. He's preparing us. He's moulding us and he's shaping us. And so often I think in our lives, when we go through bad events, that's when really we have to mature. You know, we have to dig deep into God. Gone are the times where it's you can have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. Doesn't work anymore like that.
No.
It really doesn't. We can't afford, because the world is looking grimmer and grimmer. It's a time to be all out, on fire for God. To be evangelising. To reaching souls. Because it does say in the Word of God there's a harvest out there. There's a huge harvest out there. You might not think it, but that's what the Word of God says. So if the Word of God says it, then it's out there.
Yes. Yes.
There are souls there that need to hear about the love of Jesus. They need to have peace in their lives from torment. There's a desperate world out there. A desperate world out there. It says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. If you'd like to change to Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. I'll read this bit out to you actually. The people of Israel crossed the Jordan. So this is the people of Israel now, okay? They're going from the wilderness. They have to go through the Jordan River into the promised land. You see this bit here, it's a transition bit, isn't it? You imagine them being generations and generations into wilderness, right? That's all they know, right? And they're going now, crossing this river straight into the promised land. That's a big change, isn't it? It's a good change for good, but it's a big change, a transition. Chapter 3. The next morning, Joshua and all the people of Israel got up early, left the camp at Ashiah, and went to the Jordan, where they camped while waiting to cross it. 3 days later, the leaders went through the camp and said to the people, "When you see the priest carrying the covenant box of the Lord, your God, break camp and follow them. You have never been here before. So they will show you the way to go. But do not go near the covenant box. Stay about a kilometre behind it." The verse I want to draw your attention to is the verse, "You have never been here before."
Mm.
They've never been here before. Never, never. This is totally new territory to them. Going into the newness of what God has for them, the inheritance. And it's the same for us as a church. It's the same for us in Jubilee as well. We've never been in this position before, have we? As believers, have we? Of course we haven't. You've never experienced the last 18 months before. The whole world has never been here before. You've never been here before. And it's hard. It's hard adjusting as Christians. It's hard adjusting. It's hard to find sense of it all sometimes. But the Bible is quite clear that things won't get any better, unfortunately. However, we have a good God. We've sung this morning, and we'll keep on singing it. God is good. And God has got this, although we've never been in this position before. He is good. And he is faithful. And he has got us. So often I get just so encouraged by looking at the Eastern Church and the persecution that happens over there. Okay? Now, their circumstances aren't blissful at all, but yet they're on fire for God. Totally on fire for God. And I believe for us in the Western world here, he's calling us to a new level of relationship with him. And no matter the circumstances out there in the world, he is calling us to be on fire for him. And persecution might come to, will come to this country in due time. But as that comes, so I believe our relationship and the fire we have will also be ignited further and further and further. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, it says, it says that the people were God's treasured possession. The people, the Israelites, were God's treasured possession. What a lovely verse. And you and me today, we are God's treasured possession. He loves us. There's no reason why. It's just because he does. And the qualification of that is just accepting Jesus Christ. And if you're watching today on Facebook or on any other social media platform and you don't know this Jesus, the Son of God, I just want to encourage you today that when you give your life to him, that you acknowledge he died on that cross, he took all your sins, all your burdens on that cross of Calvary, nailed to the cross. When you accept that, when you accept the finished work of the cross, and you invite him into your heart, into your life, your sins are completely washed away underneath the blood of Jesus. You see, that's when we are in right relationship with the Lord. That cross paid it all. It paid it all for us. And now we are righteous. We have right standing with our Father. We have access to him in prayer, through the word. And the most exciting thing is, as well, you can have a good old conversation with God, can't you? You can hear him. You can have a chat with him. You can hear him in your spirit. He leads you. He guides you. He gives you hope. He's a God that gives you hope. So we cannot be looking to the world for hope anymore. We cannot be looking to the systems and governments of this world to help us anymore. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. We are the church. And God is placing the church back in its rightful position. And he is bringing and rebirthing the foundational things in our lives again. Prayer, true prayer, worship, true worship. Word, true, authentic revelation. He's bringing it all back to basics and he's revamping it and bringing the church back to the centre where it needs to be. I'm going to finish with a verse from Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honour to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come.